This is Radio Superior 1952, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the evening Gather Round show.
Come on in and gather around, campers. Tim Michaels here, lighting the campfire. It's December 25th, 1952. Lou Martin has all the ho-ho-ho news for you to peruse. Harriet is in with some naughty or nice. Seeger Swanson has the Christmas editorial, and I think he's in favor of Christmas. And we've got the biggest, most garish Christmas tree I've ever seen.
Yeah, you light your campfire around here, man, and we'll have a conflagration. The Colonel picked this monstrosity out. I prefer the more modest-sized balsam, but Mr. Over-the-Top...
That's Colonel Over-the-Top, if you don't mind. And the tree is festive, because that's the kind of guy I am. I'm festive.
Yeah, man, I'm getting dizzy from the pine smell.
Look, McDougal, you don't need any pine smell to make you dizzy. You DJs are all flakes anyway.
I just about lost my eye walking by that eyesore. It's like it's got tentacles with needles on them.
It's a man's man tree is what it is. No sissy tree for the Colonel.
At some point, the 6 o'clock news should start around 6-ish. But don't let me interrupt this fascinating discussion.
The 6-ish o'clock Christmas news is brought to you by Jensen Motors. They have a 1950 Nash custom two-door, low-mileage car, which can also be made into a bed for just $13.95.
Made into a bed?
Another reason why the moral fiber of this country is going down the tank. That's why we need big Christmas trees.
Introduce me.
If the radio works and I can plug in my hot plate, it might just be cozy. I call it my Taj Menash.
Introduce me.
Now, with the 6 o'clock news, here's Lou Martin. Merry Christmas, Lou.
It was merry, but now I'm grumpy because it's the 6:03 news.
6:04 now.
Good evening, good listeners, and Merry Christmas. Stalin favors a meeting with Ike. No quarters given by UN troops in Korea. And the Trumans spend their last Christmas in the White House. We begin our world report.
This is New York, Jack Bell reporting. Soviet Premier Joseph Stalin, replying to queries submitted by the New York Times, says he favors a meeting with President-elect Eisenhower, does not consider conflict with the West inevitable, and that Russia is interested in ending the Korean War. The Times termed the Premier's answers to its 4 questions encouraging and added, quote, "They mark an attitude on the part of the Kremlin very different from the hostile one assumed in the United Nations," unquote. The White House announced last night that there would be no immediate comment on the story. An Eisenhower press aide said the general had retired for the night and could not be reached for comment. The Times said United Nations observers expressed special interest in Stalin's statement, in which he favors diplomatic conversation leading to a settlement with the Korean War. The Soviet Union and its satellites opposed a recent UN General Assembly compromise resolution on the Korean prisoner of war issue. After passage by the UN, Communist China and North Korea rejected the measure. President Truman repeatedly has said he would be glad to see Stalin in Washington. The basic policy of the president and Secretary of State Dean Acheson is that there must be proof of Soviet good faith and peaceful intentions before there can be any successful settlement with Russia. The Eisenhower High Command has a strategic plan which it hopes will put enough pressure on the communists to induce the Soviet Union to agree to an armistice. Eisenhower's choice for Secretary of State John Foster Dulles says he has no comment on the Stalin answers until he has a chance to study them. In New York, this is Jack Bell, Associated Press.
Hightower here in Washington. Premier Stalin's willingness to meet with President-elect Eisenhower poses delicate propaganda and diplomatic problems for the leaders of the incoming American administration. United States diplomats have long felt that someday, with a new balance of power in the world, a meeting of world leaders might take steps of the greatest importance toward securing peace. The last personal conference involving the heads of Western powers and Stalin was at Potsdam in July of 1945. That's when Truman, British Prime Minister Churchill, and the Russian leader talked over European peace problems and the gaining of final victory over Japan. Since then, there have been many suggestions for another such session. Most of these have come from Moscow about once or twice a year. Truman's first responses to Bosco's advances were cautious, but later his answers became more blunt. He would be glad to see Stalin in Washington. In fact, he had invited the Generalissimo to come here when he was in Potsdam, but he saw little which could be accomplished by a top-level session. Truman also said there are adequate forums now for taking up Cold War disputes, such as the United Nations. In Washington, this is John Hightower.
Hello and Merry Christmas. This is Max Jordan in Seoul. Allied fighting men asked and gave no quarter this Christmas Day. Air and artillery duels and close quarter fighting marked the birthday of the Prince of Peace. Russian-built MiG jets ventured farther south en masse than ever before. Allied pilots roared aloft and turned them back after destroying one Red war plane and probably destroying another. The Air Force did not say how many MiGs left their usual haunts near their Manchurian sanctuary or just how far south they got. On the Central Front, Chinese Reds announced by loudspeaker that they would hold their fire from 8 a.m. until noon in observation of Christmas. They urged U.N. soldiers to, quote, come in one by one and surrender, end quote. The Allies asked no favors. They opened up with their big guns, destroyed the loudspeaker. The Reds replied with a barrage of their own. Similar Red broadcast last week boasted that the Communists would be in Seoul by Christmas. That threat fell far short of fulfillment. In the bleak, frozen hills of eastern Korea, 400 North Korean Reds overran an Allied outpost after heavy hand-to-hand fighting. The Allied infantrymen stormed back and recaptured the position. Soldiers on both sides huddled in miserable foxholes, chilled by 30-degree temperatures. With the U.N. troops near Seoul, this is Max Jordan.
This is Washington, Joel Anderson, AP. Owen Lattimore loudly declared his innocence yesterday in answer to a 7-count perjury indictment based on his sworn denial of communist sympathies. The two words, not guilty, were all Lattimore said during a brief court proceeding. U.S. District Judge James Kirkland says the trial of the Far Eastern specialist probably will begin sometime in March. The judge gave Lattimore until February 16th to file motions attaching the indictment returned Tuesday by a grand jury charging he had committed perjury when he denied to senators he had been a communist sympathizer. As soon as Judge Kirkland took his place on the bench, he served notice that the arraignment of the Far Eastern specialist and one-time State Department consultant was just another case as far as he was concerned. In Washington, this is Joel Anderson, AP.
This is Stan Turner, International News Service, reporting from Bethlehem. The world's Christians gathered today around cheery hearths and on frozen battlefields to celebrate the birthday of the Prince of Peace and take comfort in the hope that the day promises. In America and Europe, besides traditional church services, there were festive parties and family get-togethers. And there was a tremendous exchange of gifts, for the past year has been the most prosperous since World War II. President Truman lighted a Christmas tree on the White House lawn in Washington last night as carols were sung. Then, in a nationwide broadcast, he called for America to remain steadfast behind her fighting soldiers. As we pray for the brave men and women in Korea, he added, quote, let us also pray for our enemies. Let us pray for the Spirit of God shall enter their lives and prevail in their lands. Let us pray for a fulfillment of the brotherhood of man, end quote. Within the sound of artillery, Cardinal Spellman celebrated midnight mass for battle-ravaged souls at a U.S. Division command post in Korea. Spellman told the troops that they did not struggle alone. Quote, God is before you, behind you, and around you as you slog through mud and snow and fatigue, weakness, and pain. Unquote. In the chilly marshlands of northern Indochina, the long war between French Union forces and the communist-led Viet Minh rebels flared anew. In a battle 70 miles southeast of Hanoi, 300 of the Viet Minh were killed in a French mopping-up operation Christmas Eve. Russian Secret Service introduced a sour note in Germany by withholding 4 million gift packages from the West addressed to East Germans. Every package going behind the Iron Curtain had to undergo minute inspection for sabotage weapons. Christmas produced new warmth and comradeship between the thousands of American soldiers serving in Western Europe and the local people. U.S. soldiers, sailors, and airmen became Santas to countless European orphans and underprivileged children, entertaining the waifs at camps and aboard ships, showering them with presents. In turn, many Europeans shared their family festivities with the Americans. Here in the Middle East, thousands of pilgrims thronged to shrines in the Holy Land, where Jesus was born nearly 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. For the special services here, barricades were lifted for a few hours so those who came to worship could pass freely between Jewish Israel and the Arab regions of that divided land. In Bethlehem, this is Stan Turner.
This is the nation's capital, Lyle C. Wilson, United Press. For the first time in many years, there will be children in the White House on Christmas Day. They are the children of Mr. and Mrs. David Frederick Wallace, who, with other close relatives of the Truman family, are gathering for the Yuletide. Wallace is a brother of Mrs. Truman. It will be the first time the Trumans have spent Christmas Day in the White House since 1947. The last 4 years, they have gone to Independence, Missouri. There have been no very young children at the White House for Christmas since Franklin D. Roosevelt's grandchildren used to gather there. White House Social Secretary Mrs. James Helms says the presidential family will open their presents after breakfast and will have Christmas dinner in the afternoon. Two Christmas trees have been set up in the White House, one in the East Room and a family tree in the living quarters. There is also a huge decorated tree on the White House grounds, which by tradition is lighted by the president on Christmas Eve. In D.C., this is Lyle C. Wilson wishing you a Merry Christmas.
Despite Stalin's willingness to meet with President-elect Eisenhower, the Moscow newspaper Pravda today harped away on its favorite theme, charging that the West is preparing for a third world war. Quoting now, the imperialists are seeking a way out of the sharpening contradictions of the capitalistic system on the path of a new world war. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:10. Tim Michaels has this message from Jensen Motors.
Well, you know, it is Christmas, Lou, and the people at Jensen Motors would like to thank everybody for making this year a very happy and prosperous year. May you enjoy this wonderful day with your family and friends. And next year, keep in mind, Jensen Motors, if you need a new vehicle, they are the place to go. Jensen Motors wishing you a Merry Christmas from all of them at 1226 Ogden in Superior. Dial 4409. Lou?
The Reserve Mining Company today filed a mortgage covering its taconite properties in St. Louis County Recorder's Office in Duluth. The $148 million represents the first step in the company's financing program. Reserve is opening a taconite mine at Babbitt and building a processing plant near Beaver Bay on the north shore of Lake Superior, and will ship its first pellets by boat in 1955. The darling of the Omaha Railroad had a very merry Christmas. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has more.
Little Helen Kennedy of Minong received the Christmas present of her young life. The Omaha passenger train 512 applied its brakes in front of the Kennedy home just south of Minong and picked up their faithful Helen for a train ride. Helen's been waving at the old 512 for 7 of her 10 years. And last night received her reward for fidelity. Engineer Mark Johnson and brakeman George Labonte yelled from the cab, hailing Helen and her mother, quote, "Hey, Helen, you coming?" and took the Kennedys to Spooner in the cab of the train. Once in town, Helen rode in elevators, quote, "till my legs were wobbly." In the cab was a large package labeled Helen and contained a snowsuit and an envelope with $23 in it for the Omaha's sweetheart. Helen's biggest thrill? She got to blow the train whistle. On Christmas morning, Helen and her mom went to the Minong Depot to meet Mr. Kennedy coming home from Waukesha, where he works. While Helen was greeting her daddy, engineer A. Iverson and fireman Eugene Wood leaped from the cab of the northbound train and brought a 5-pound pail of honey for their honey, a dollar, and plenty of candy and nuts. Helen thanked her personal crew and said they were a sweet bunch of fellows. The train crew throws comic books, candy, and anything they can think of for Helen by the side of the track as they go by. Old 512 sure boasts a flock of tender-hearted, lantern-swinging, steam-eating Santa Clauses, Lou.
Thanks, Mike, and Merry Christmas to the old 512. Finally, Superior's first Christmas baby of 1952 is Richard Paul Nelson, born to Mr. and Mrs. Leroy Nelson of 2103 East 7th Street at 7:40 a.m. Christmas morn. Two Foxborough families are on the record at St. Joseph's for having a baby on Christmas Eve. Mr. and Mrs. Francis Schmidt and Mr. and Mrs. Ted Narconis both had daughters.
I'm going to start waving at Omaha passenger trains if it means candy and nuts and snowsuits. And don't say I'm too old for a snowsuit. Get those snowsuits on, campers, because it's going to get cold. Tonight's low will be zero, with a high tomorrow of 25, but then we'll take the plunge Friday night with a low of 12 below the zipper. Let's see if we can answer that age-old question with our first Christmas song by Gene Autry. Why, oh why, did Rudolph have a red nose on the Christmas Gather Round show?
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you go down in history. And say it goes. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you go down in history.
From 1949, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer by Gene Autry on KUWS.
Hey, did you know that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was a story used in a Montgomery Ward's Christmas sale? Huh? Yep, it's true. Rudolph wasn't one of the original eight reindeer. No wonder he was an outcast.
Kind of like that tree you picked up.
Hey! That isn't my fault. It's Chopper's fault.
My name is Buster, not Chopper.
Yeah, you just wanted to chop and chop and chop.
Oh, yeah? Chopper. Well, you're skinny like a weed of a tree that
you wanted.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah?
Well, I'll tell you what,
the colonel has some feelings, too, here. A tree is a personal thing. What the heck are you doing?
I still got my voice out now.
Say, seeing as how you two are in the holiday mood, how would you like to spread some Christmas cheer?
The missus never lets me do that before supper.
I'm not talking about hot toddies.
Yeah, married men never get to have hot tootsies. It's against their marriage vows.
That's toddies, not tootsies.
That's toddies, not tooties.
Somehow I think somewhere in this conversation, where I'm not sure, is exactly what's wrong with America today.
Well, let me send some Christmas greetings. So, you two start.
After you.
Thank you. We can think of no more sincere and heartfelt wish for all our friends than a hope that the tradition of love and worship may continue to grow and strengthen throughout a free world. Merry Christmas from Rots.
Christmas, the close of a rewarding 1952, prelude to another year of health and prosperity. Happy Yuletide from Al and Dorothy Stansky at East End Grocery.
Happy Christmas from the Black Cat Cafe. We wish all pleasures that a joyous holiday season can bring.
May all the joys of the holiday be heaped on you and those you love. Merry Christmas from the Amicon Falls Tavern.
Where they have excellent hot toddies, and I'm told great hot tatties, too.
It's Christmas music time. This is a new one from 13-year-old Jimmy Boy. Here's I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus and the Tim Michaels Christmas Gather Round Show.
She didn't see me creep down the stairs to have a peep. She thought that I was tucked up in my bedroom fast asleep. Then I saw Mommy tickle Santa Claus underneath his beard so snowy white.
Jimmy Boyd, and I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus on KUWS number one on the 1952 Billboard chart.
You know, that's what's wrong with this country. No wonder the Catholic Church in Boston condemned it. Mommy shouldn't be kissing anybody except Daddy.
Maybe Mommy's a hot toddy.
The Archbishop lifted its ban on the song yesterday. The bishop was photographed with Jimmy Boyd after he explained that Santa was really Daddy in a Santa suit.
Makes no difference. It's still weirdo, if you ask me.
Which puts us back in the Christmas greeting spirit.
I'm going first this time. It's my turn.
In the spirit of the holiday, be my guest.
Thank you. Best wishes for a happy Christmas to our friends we've served this 1952 year from Popkin Furniture Company, Superior's Friendly Home Furnishing.
We cannot help but think of our many friends who made the past year so worthwhile. To all of them, we wish a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. J.D. Harold Company, General Contractors.
Merry Christmas from Howard's Bar in the friendly East End.
Ah, Merry Christmas from all of us at Jensen Motors.
Happy the heart that looks to home and loved ones gay to light the tree and sing the songs for a wonderful Christmas day.
That's supposed to rhyme, my dear Colonel L.
You're right. Give me another shot. Happy the heart that looks to home and loved ones gay to light the tree and sing the songs for a wonderful Christmas day. Holiday greetings from Tower Paint and Lodomian.
That's a great job, Colonel. Great
job. That's a mouthful of...
That tree is beginning to grow on me, too.
Yeah, if it grows any more, they'll make a 3D monster movie out of it.
I've got a huge, big surprise coming up. I'm so excited. But first, here's Gene Autry with his 1947 hit, Here Comes Santa Claus, on the Christmas Gather Round Show.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Blixin' and blixin' and all his reindeers pulling on the reins. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. So hang your stockings and say your prayers, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He's got a bag that's filled with toys for boys and girls again. Hear those sleigh bells jingle, jangle, oh, what a beautiful sight. So jump in bed and cover your head, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He doesn't care if you're rich or poor, he loves you just the same. Santa Claus knows we're all God's children, that makes everything right. So fill your hearts with Christmas cheer, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He'll come around when chimes ring out that it's Christmas morn again. Peace on earth will come to all if we just follow the light. So let's give thanks to the Lord above, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Vixen and Blixen, all his reindeers pulling on the rein. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. Hang your stockings and say your prayers, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Gene Autry and Here Comes Santa Claus on KUWF.
Now Superior Evening Telegram writer Seeger Swanson has tonight's Christmas editorial. Merry Christmas, sir.
Merry Christmas, Lou. It's a white Christmas in Upper Wisconsin. Snow almost bypassed Superior, but it was gratifying to look out the window this morning to see the ground had been whitened. Somehow Christmas in Superior would not have seemed complete without snow. There's much joy in our homes today. That's because it's Christmas, a time for great rejoicing. The Christmas spirit is best experienced in our churches and family gatherings. Today, many have returned home for visits with loved ones, and throughout our communities, there are countless expressions of Merry Christmas. One thing is definitely apparent as we observe our Christmas of 1952. There's a great need for continued hope, a striving for that day when no threat of war and a lessening of the world's troubles comes closer to reality. A day when all our boys and girls in the service of their country can be home for Christmas, too. This much is sure. We're better for observing Christmas in our traditional manner. So let the bells ring out, and may we long continue to say, Merry Christmas.
Hear, hear!
To our boys in the service, salutes
gold.
Hey, where'd you guys get the hot toddies?
Ray made them. Pretty good, too.
Well, I had to stop by. All that talk about hot toddies.
Yep, with a D, not a T.
Well, I had to whip up a batch. You look disappointed, King Timothy.
I am. Why don't I have one?
Right here. Nice and hot as a toddy should be.
Again, that's with a D, otherwise Mrs. Colonel Rapoli would be upset. But back in the WW1 days, the damsels in...
Watch your language, it's Christmas.
Damsels in Paris were some pretty hot toddies with a T.
I wouldn't mind a toddy myself.
No toddies, just toddies.
Stick around, Seeker. Hey, campers, here's Nat King Cole's classic Christmas song, perfect for our evening campfire.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeers really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. Phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Nat King Cole's 1946 classic, A Christmas Song, on KUWS. You know, it was written by Mel Torme and Bob Wells in a hot day in July in Los Angeles.
You're pulling my leg.
No, it's true. The engineer at an L.A. radio station confirmed it. They wrote it as a way to keep cool in the heat.
I don't care about that. I just want you to stop pulling my leg.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was part of this humongous Christmas tree you picked out.
Lou, you're looking a little down in the mouth.
Harriet's not here. It's not the same without her.
Oh. Well, buck up, Lou. We've got a great surprise right after a couple of more holiday greetings.
Once more, it is a pleasure to extend to our many friends and patrons our very best wishes for a Christmas bright with happiness and good cheer. They must have been having some hot toddies, too. Merry Christmas from Fire, Sales, and Service. What on earth?
Spell it.
F-Y-R space F-Y-T-E-R.
No more hot toddies for the Colonel.
A joyous holiday to all of our friends from the Belknap Tavern, 1921 Belknap.
I noticed that Lou's got most of the tavern's greetings.
There's no truth to the rumor that I get a free hot toddy with every plug.
Lou Whiff!
That's toddy with a D, not a T. And it's great to see you, Harriet. I thought you had family plans this evening.
Well, I do, and that's why I'm here. You're, all of you, part of my family.
Questionable lineage from the Colonel's side.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with my family's lines.
To all members and contributors of the Great Northern Railroad Shop Craft Club, the committee wishes to express its heartfelt thanks for the contributions for the Christmas party for the two children's homes. The party was a great success, and we wish all of you a Merry Christmas. A special thanks to Coca-Cola.
All right, time for that big surprise.
Oh, I just love surprises.
I hate surprises.
Come on in, Mr. Surprise. It's Mr. Tootie.
I love Mr. Tootie.
I hate clowns.
But Mr. Toot loves grumpy colonels. Now, gather around, as Timmy Michaels likes to say, because I have a special Christmas poem from Mr. Clement Moore. You ready?
This is great.
It isn't Christmas without this.
Well, gather round. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums, they danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wandering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas, too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur, from his head to his foot, and his clothes, they were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled. His dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses. His nose, just like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow. And the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tightly in his teeth. And the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed, like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf. And I laughed when I saw him, in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings. Then turned with a jerk and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight, Happy Christmas to all. And to all, a good night. Merry Christmas, boys and girls, no matter how old you are.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1952, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Duke Skorich, Don Hansen, Joel Anderson, John Munson, Ray Paulson, Pope Wright, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1952 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.